This morning's reading is taken from Luke chapter 18, verses 18 to 30. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honour your father and mother." "All these I have kept since I was a boy," he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad, because he was a man of great wealth. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard this asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus replied, "What is impossible with men is possible with God." Peter said to him, "We have left all we had to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus said to them, "no one who has left home or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come eternal life." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
You may remember when we began this service on this series on lordship, which was a long time ago, probably about 3 months ago now. Paul Leesby began by preaching to us and telling us about this idea of writing a list of all the different areas of your life, and going through that list and asking the question, is Jesus Lord in this area of my life? So it might be your work, or it might be your hobbies, or it might be your money, or it might be, I don't know, your relationships, or you know, the time you spend on the internet, or whatever it is, to think, is Jesus Lord of this area of my life? Or am I happy with Jesus being Lord of my Sunday mornings, but not so much of him being Lord in this area and that area? And it's a really challenging thing. And whether you've done it literally, written the list, or whether you've just kind of gone through in your mind and thought, am I really allowing God to be God in that area of my life? It's a very challenging thing to do. And in today's passage, Jesus essentially does that, asks that question of this man who happens to be a very rich man. In the other gospel, in Matthew's gospel, I think it talks about the fact that he's young. He's a rich young ruler. And here we're told that he is certainly rich. So it says, a certain ruler asked Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" So this rich young ruler is coming to Jesus, which is a good start. He's going towards Jesus. He's asking him a question, and he wants to know, what do I need? He knows that something is missing. He knows that something is missing. He's coming to Jesus saying, what do I need to do? And when we hear eternal life, we think that means getting into heaven. But actually, in those days, in the Jewish understanding, eternal life wasn't about somewhere you go to after you die. Eternal life was about the way you live life now. Yes, it had an eternal dimension to it, but it wasn't about how do I get my ticket into heaven? You know, what do I need to do or not do to get there? It was more about how do I live the eternal life now in this life? Because he knew, this rich young ruler knew somehow, he had so much, but he knew something was missing. So he was essentially saying to Jesus, what is it that I lack? And the irony, of course, is that this young man, the thing he lacks is the fact that he has everything. The thing that he lacks is the fact that he has no lack. He has so much. He has so much stuff. And so Jesus replies, well, you know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, honour your father and mother. And the young man says, well, all these, I've kept them since I was a boy. Now, we don't know what kind of tone is in his voice. Is he saying, I'm really good, I've kept all those, aren't I good? Or is he saying, but I've kept all those rules and still something is missing? I've kept all those rules and still it doesn't seem to work. Maybe it's not about the rules. And maybe that's why Jesus draws this out of him and says, oh, you have kept all the rules, haven't you? And you're discovering that it's not about keeping all the rules. There's something deeper going on. It's beyond the commandments. One of the things I often say at a funeral service, because I'm aware that often when I take a funeral, there'll be people there who have no faith at all, or who are of different faith, and yet they've ended up at a Church of England funeral. And so during this kind of sermon reflection time, I often say, people think that being a Christian, from the outside, people think that it's about a list of things that you should do and you shouldn't do. That's what people think Christianity is. Or they think it's about a building, or it's about singing hymns. And I say, you know, Christianity isn't about any of that. It's certainly not about a list of do's and don'ts. Christianity is essentially, at its heart, Christianity is the story of how love overcame death. That's what Christianity is about. And that's what we see in the person of Jesus, in the death and the resurrection of Jesus, is how love overcame death. But yet people on the outside think it's, oh, well, I wouldn't be allowed to do this, would I? And I've got to do that. I've got to go to church on Sunday. I'm not allowed to do that fun stuff. That's not what Christianity is about at all. In response to God's great love, we might decide that actually those things aren't good for us, and those things are good for us. But it's not about the do's and don'ts. They're a response to God's great love. So in order to find what he was looking for, this young man needs to lose everything else. In order to find something, he has to lose everything else. It's almost as though his arms are completely full of possessions and riches. And in order to receive from God, he has to put down all the possessions, all the riches, all those things that he thinks give him his self-worth and identity. He has to lay those down, and then he's ready to receive from Jesus. The one thing he was lacking was not having everything. You lack one thing, says Jesus. You lack one thing. Sell everything. See, for this young man, his God was his comfort and his possessions. His Lord was his lifestyle. Essentially, your Lord is whatever rules your life. Whatever dictates how you live, that is your Lord. So if Jesus is Lord, then Jesus rules your life. But if money is Lord, then the money rules your life. And if seeking approval of other people is Lord, is the most important thing, then that will rule your life. And if comfort, if being comfortable and safe and keeping the scary world outside is your Lord, then that will rule your life. Sell everything you have, says Jesus, and give to the poor. So why didn't Jesus say that to everybody? Because Jesus meets other rich people. If you remember, he meets Nicodemus. Nicodemus comes and he's a very wealthy person, he's a ruler. And yet Jesus doesn't say, what you need to do is sell everything you have. And then remember Zacchaeus, the short guy that climbed up a tree? He doesn't sell everything he has. He does give to the poor, but Jesus doesn't say, what you need to do is sell everything you have. And in fact, that doesn't seem to be the message of Christianity. When the church begins, we read that there are people who are quite wealthy in the church, those who are able to open their house to be a place of worship. So Jesus doesn't say to everybody, sell everything that you have and give to the poor. But he does say it to this young man, because for this young man, that's the very thing that's preventing him from Jesus being Lord in his life. So to somebody else, he might not say, sell everything you have. He might say, you need to give up this, or you need to lay down that, or you need to let go of this. But for this man, it was all about his possessions. And Jesus, of course, can see that, because he knows him completely inside out. And we know, don't we, that it's not having money that's the problem. It's money having you that is the problem. It's not having possessions that's the problem. It's being possessed by them that is the problem. Are we consumed by our consumerism? Do we own things, or do those things own us? However, sometimes it's the opposite. It's not the having too much that's the problem. It's the constant longing to have things that we don't have. So for some people, they've got so many riches, so many stuff, that there's no space for God. For others, all their head space and heart space is filled up with, I wish I had that. I wish I had a bit more money. I wish I had that car. I wish I had that job. I wish I had that. I wish I had that. I wish I had that. And all their time and energy is filled up with that. So it's not the having stuff that's the problem. It's the constantly longing and not being satisfied with what they do have that is the problem. There's a great quote by Jim Carrey, where he said, I wish everyone could get rich and famous and have everything they ever dreamed of so that they can see that it is not the answer. So Jim Carrey, a very famous actor, lots of money, he kind of made it big in Hollywood, and it was almost like he's climbing a mountain. We see this, people going after fame, don't we? Fame and riches, and they're climbing that mountain. When I get to that top of that mountain, when I'm famous enough and rich enough, then I will realize myself and I will be complete and whole. And yet, when you speak to the people who are at the top of the mountain, like Jim Carrey and others, they're shouting down saying, this isn't it. Don't put all your energy in getting to the top of this mountain, because this isn't it. This isn't the answer. That hole inside will still be there. They'll still be suffering. They'll still be pain. In fact, it might even be magnified. It's confusing, isn't it, when we hear about these rich, famous people who take drug overdoses and who do all these terrible things. And you think, why? They've got everything. They've got the things that we're all longing for. We all want fame and adulation and money. And yet they get there and they're not happy. Jesus says, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. It's almost like there's little steps. Jesus is saying, first of all, sell everything. Let go of the thing that you think is giving you your self-worth, because it's not anyway. Let go of that. That's the first step. And then give to the poor. So be generous. So it's about letting go and giving out. Give to people. Instead of thinking, I need this security for myself, give it away. And actually, you'll find security in that. It's the opposite. It's the upside down of the kingdom. Thirdly, receive heavenly treasure. So this is confusing for this man, because he thinks treasure is things and money. And Jesus is saying, no, that's not treasure at all. I'll show you what treasure is, but you're going to have to let go of this stuff first. And of course, we know that he's not ready to. And then finally, but perhaps most importantly, then follow me. It's not just letting go of the stuff, letting go of whatever it is you hold tight and then kind of being empty. It's then having a different purpose. Jesus says, repent, turn around. So you lay down the riches, you lay down whatever it is that you're holding too tightly, and then you turn and you follow him, because there's a purpose for you. And there's a way to live. It's not just a kind of emptiness. It's a purpose and a direction. Jesus says, follow me, live for me. But then it says, when the rich young man heard this, he became very sad, because he was very wealthy. Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. The question really here is, do we use material things to fulfill a spiritual need? I was talking about this on Ash Wednesday, because we were about to begin Lent, and obviously Lent is a time of fasting. I was talking about giving up food and how we use and we abuse food. So we talk about comfort food, as though food can give us comfort when really it can't. Food is there to give us nutrition and energy. But maybe if we're feeling a bit sad, you know, if we've had a bad day, we'll think, well, I'll have a chocolate bar, because that'll make me feel better. That'll comfort me. And it gives you a kind of a little moment, there's little chemicals that go off in your brain when you eat chocolate, and you feel a little bit of comfort. But the problem is, all you're doing is numbing the actual pain that's there of being lonely. So you're not actually doing anything about the loneliness or the feeling sad or feeling empty or whatever it is. Instead, you're kind of putting chocolate into a hole that chocolate isn't designed to fill. And chocolate will never fill that. And it might not be chocolate, it might be alcohol. It might be pornography, it might be games on your phone, it might be whatever it is that you're using to try and fill a spiritual need, and it will never be filled. Those who heard this, the reading continues, those who heard this said, who then can be saved? Jesus replied, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Peter said to him, we have left all we had to follow you. Truly I tell you, Jesus said to them, no one who has left home or wife or brothers or sister or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much as this, in this age and in the age to come, eternal life. Essentially, Jesus is saying, if you surrender everything to God's lordship and trust him with every area of your life, then you will receive so much more. If you're willing to give up that thing that you're holding, you'll discover that Jesus has so much more for you. You may have come across this very cheesy little image that appears on the internet from time to time. So this little girl is holding her little teddy bear, and Jesus is saying, I want you to give up your teddy bear. And she's saying, no, but I really love my teddy bear. And she can't see that behind Jesus' back is a really big teddy bear. So she's thinking, oh, but I don't want to give it up. But Jesus is saying, well, if you give up your little teddy bear, I'll give you a much bigger one. Now, you kind of get the point that it's saying. If you're willing to surrender things to God, you'll receive even more, which is kind of what Jesus said. But I think there are some theological holes in this image. So firstly, it's not as though the rich young man has these riches and Jesus says, well, if you give me your riches of, you know, maybe his net worth is what, you know, £2 million. If you give me that, then I'll give you £4 million. You know, I'll give you a bigger teddy bear. That's kind of not the point, is it? I think really Jesus shouldn't have anything behind his back. And really the message should be, you don't need the teddy bear. You think this teddy bear is giving you comfort. You think, oh, this is the thing. I need it because it makes me feel whole. When really it's just a teddy bear. You know, it's just kind of some material, isn't it? And soft bit inside, and it's got a barcode on it. You know, it's not, that's not really the thing that's going to give you comfort. So he shouldn't have a teddy bear behind his back at all. He should be saying to the girl, you don't need the teddy bear. What you need is me. And essentially that's what he's saying to this rich young ruler. He's saying, you don't need the money that you think you need to keep you safe and to give you status. You think the thing that you think is keeping you safe and giving you status is the very thing that's stopping you from being truly safe in God's hands and having true status as a child of God. That's the message of Jesus. Are we willing to give up the very things that we hold so tightly because we think they give us the comfort and they give us what we need? When the truth is that we only get that comfort and that true need met when we give them up. It's the upside down of the kingdom. And it's hard for us because our human logic wants to cling on to these things. We feel afraid. That's why the message is so often, do not be afraid. The message that's repeated over and over in the scripture is do not fear. Do not be afraid. Because it's our fear that stops us from truly opening up to the good things that God has for us. We are made to have a relationship with God. That's how we're made. It's fundamentally who we are. But it can't be done half-heartedly. It just can't. It doesn't work like that. And that's why lordship is so important. And that's why I think this series has been so challenging for us, to recognize that Jesus wants to be Lord of all. We need to surrender all we have to him. I was reading the other day that worship is essentially made up of two parts: gratitude and surrender. Worship is about those two things. I don't just mean worship as we sing songs, though that's important too. But actually, worship, our whole lives as worship, is two things. Gratitude, thankful for all that we have, for what God has done for us. And secondly, surrender. Surrendering to him. As we recognize who he is, we're then willing to give more of ourselves to him and to allow him to be Lord in more and more of our lives. It's been said that if Jesus is not Lord of all, he is not Lord at all. The very definition of him being Lord means that he is Lord of everything, everywhere, always. And that's the challenge for us. So we're going to respond in worship now, in sung worship. Can I ask the band to come back up? And as we do, let's try and remember those two things. That it's about gratitude. Sometimes when we talk about coming to church, we sometimes say, oh, we need to leave all our problems and our worries at the door and come in and forget about them so we can enter this, you know, beautiful building and be taken up by this beautiful music. But actually, I think it's more about bringing all our problems and our worries to God. And as we do that, we recognize, as we let his light shine upon those worries and those concerns, we recognize that actually they grow strangely dim. We recognize that actually they're not as big and scary as we thought they were. That we do not need to be afraid. That we have a God who's big enough to handle our problems. We have a God who's longing for us to give all of ourselves, every bit of our life to him. And it may seem scary because we're like the little girl in the picture. You know, we want to hold on to our teddy bear. And maybe we're hoping that there'll be a bigger teddy bear. But Jesus is saying, you don't need the teddy bear. You don't need the riches or the job or whatever you think it is that gives you security. What you need is me. What you need is me to be Lord in every area of your life, and then you'll try and find true freedom. And then you'll be able to have riches, but them not to have you. To have possessions, and them not to possess you. You'll be able to give them away. You'll be able to hold them lightly. You'll be able to enjoy the good things, but not have them swamp you and overtake your life. Let's allow Jesus to be Lord of all.